the new. So, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Dax and Jax. I'm Tom House. She's Jay-Z on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill is with us, ready to hear my softball story of last night, I'm sure. Even if he's not ready, he's going to hear it anyway. SP Futures up 550. Dow Futures up 63. NASDAQ Futures up 350. Kevin, how are you?
Good. I had a hard time going to sleep last night wondering what happened with softball.
Is it possible it could have been the worst it could possibly be and then maybe worse?
Well, do tell. Let's hear this tale of woe.
This is one of these Chicago Sport and Social recreational leagues that is all guys, no girls. They have some that you have to play girls and some they're all guys, so some are competitive and some are recreational. This one, I think, is more recreational. So, of course, with all the incredible rain we've had in this area, I mean, it's like, I don't even know what to describe this, where we live, where we're living now, Kevin. The season was supposed to end like 3 weeks ago. All right, so they're going to have the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals all last night. And they got to park with, let's say, I'll be nice and say moderate lighting. And that is being nice, believe it or not. So we get out there, and of course, they have diamonds they have three diamonds, and they all are to various degrees wet. But if somebody would have gotten either a rake or one of those machines out on them, like an hour before the game, it would have been fine. I mean, they weren't that wet. You know, it was easily done. We fix that every Sunday morning in Sunday morning softball. We get out there with a rake and we do it ourselves. Because these guys would never think of anything like that, right?
No, park lackeys don't do that.
Or any of the players either. You know, the guy got to help you. But you're paying, I'm going to say you paid a park district, Chicago Sport and Social, at least $100 a game for the field. And they don't do crap. I mean, in some parks. Some parks, not Warner Park, they were all, no matter what, if it rained the day before, you went out there, the thing looked like Wrigley Field infield. They did a beautiful job. This park, not so. So they decide, okay, we're going to play on the grass. Well, now the lights don't really line up on the grass, right? So I'm thinking, how's this going to work?
Problem. Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking, how's this going to work? But then again, I didn't have to worry about that because I'm looking all afternoon at Chicago weather, and they're saying there literally was a 5% chance of rain. So right before I leave the office, come flashing across my thing, severe thunderstorm watch for the entire area. I'm like, okay. So we're driving up there, and they're saying watch some in Wisconsin, some here and there. So we get out there, and it's pretty nice, and you can sort of see some clouds whipping by like this was going to be somewhat dangerous, but maybe not horrible. So finally, they start a few minutes late, maybe like 7:10 or something. We're playing these schmucks, and of course, the team that we're filling in for, I won't say ringing for because I'm not exactly a ringer, four or five of those guys are on vacation because the league was supposed to be long gone 3 weeks ago. So the other team is not very good. So, of course, the guys we bring are mowing them down. My nephew hits a home run. My niece's boyfriend gets one hit that almost took the third baseman's head off. He's this big, huge dude. So we get like six in the first. They let off. They get a couple. We get six. They get zero. We get seven. They get a couple more. And all of a sudden, now, my brother Dan, right? Now, he plays in all these different leagues with all different rules. Well, in this particular league, you can take a leadoff, but then you can't advance from there until the ball crosses the plate. You know, why, I don't know, but because I guess they figured they got catchers that can't throw. But
so you can't hit and run is what they're saying.
Right, right. And so he doesn't know that. So there's two outs. 3-2 count, so of course he takes off in front of this very mouthy, very, very poor player second. And it's a recreational league, seems like the more recreational people get and the less serious they get about things, the louder they get in the mouth. So the guy up, I forget who it was, loses one about 90 yards over the left fielder's head. It might have been my niece's boyfriend. So it's this, you know, basically walk around home run. And the guy is bitching a blue streak about how he should be called out because he left early and blah, blah, blah. And the ump basically says, I didn't see it. I was watching the ball go into orbit in left field. You know, he's like, what's the difference? It's not like it was a close play at second base and the ball is long gone. The guy keeps it up. Finally, somebody on our team says, would you just shut up? Now, and then he's really pissed off. So then he starts yelling at my brother how he was an old man and the only way he could play was to cheat and leave early and stuff. I'm thinking, you know, this is way too much for a team that's down like 20-2. I thought I was over this. But so then I'm sitting there going, how far does he really want to push this? I mean, does he really want to get a big brawl? And our team is twice their size. You know, I don't know. Plus, I'm not so sure. This guy, he didn't look in too good a shape. I'm not so sure him against my old brother. I wouldn't take my old brother. You know, I mean, Dan's the most inoffensive dude. And the guy's like, hey, old man, you think the only way you can play is he just keeps it up. And I felt like going over and whacking him. I'm like, anyway, so then, before it's an official game, lightning rain lands. We go, you know, stand by the thing, and all of a sudden they go, all right, after a half hour of that, well, we're not playing. So we head to the car. It starts pouring even more. So three guys say, all right, how about I get a ride with you? So they pile in all wet. Now my seats are all wet in my truck. And then, Kevin, we got in the car. It started raining so hard. People were putting their flashers on the side street and pulling over. They didn't even feel like they could move forward on the side street. It was raining that hard. I mean, this is what, a 5% chance of rain? I don't know what they're going to do with this stupid league, because our next Thursday is 4th of July. They might just say the hell with it. I don't.
Yeah. You know, you guys, let me saw this trophy into pieces. Everybody gets some.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? I mean, but this has been, how long has this been? This is last year, this year? In May, we were, what, almost double the normal amount of rain, and June's going to be worse? I mean, I don't know. So then we go to the bar, and for some reason, the Tripoli now has become these, ladies have found this place for the, is a place they really like. Evidently, they like the food and everything, and the people are pleasant as hell. So they were there for the it was the knucklehead that had the 15 different girls chasing him, the Bachelor. Well, they had it every Monday night. They had the reserve tables, and they had to deal with the bar that the Bachelor was going to be on with the sound on. Which, for guys, I'm going to be very sexist here. For guys, that means one thing, like the baseball game, because everybody's watching the baseball game. For the ladies, it takes on a whole new meaning, because they want it on so damn loud so they can hear it over them all talking to each other. Just saying. I don't know how sexist that is, but it would be the truth. Can you say something, even if it's the truth? Does that make it not sexist?
Truth is always a good defense.
Yeah, the truth is a good... So they had like 25 people are watching the debate last night. Of course, a couple of the Boston guys walked in and walked out, but I don't know. So we were forced to listen to the debate, and it's
I'd sooner listen to The Bachelor.
Yeah, no kidding. At least they had the good looking girls on that, but and I guess there was him, but then him. The Bachelor, Audrey just happened to be around one of the Monday nights, so she comes in with me, and she hadn't watched it at all. And all of a sudden, the guy's crying. She goes, why are 20 women fighting over a guy who's crying? Guys don't cry. talk about somebody from a different era, huh? Why would I want a guy who's crying?
Yeah, I don't know. But public blubbering has just gotten to be a thing. You know, every pro athlete who has a long career cries at retirement too. I mean, since when?
If I was in a position of power, I would tell you I would probably lose it only a couple of times. One is if I went to meet the caskets at Dover, or went to a veterans hospital. I'd have trouble there. Other than that, I think I'm pretty solid.
Yeah, but that's legit reason. I'm talking about, I'm retiring. My career is, my career is ending.
Yeah. I'm retiring. I have to actually spend time with my family. Maybe that part I can understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've had conversation after conversation, Kevin, with my clients in the last two or three days, especially some of the new ones who aren't quite into yet. You do the best you can to protect yourself and get yourself in a situation, but to a lot of time you're a slave to the market. I said I've never really gone into a weekend. I'm sure there's a few if I could get a better memory that there was more. I mean, there's been potential wars declared on weekends, but this is I don't know what to make of this meeting tonight. Well, it's tomorrow, but it's tonight, right? This afternoon with the time change. I don't know what to make of this. I mean, my guess is it's the usual crap. They're working on it. The guy's going to work another couple of weeks, and they'll break apart. I don't like the deal, but then by Monday it'll be we're still talking. I'm sure it'll be the usual crap, but I'm not all that sure. You know what I'm saying? It's like what was the movie Field of Dreams, where the guy says, "All right, he's already got two balls. He probably won't throw it at you again, but be careful he doesn't stick it in your ear." You know, it's like you never really know. And you know, clients are like, "Well, should I be bullish? Should I be bearish?" And I'm like, "Yes." You know, I have no read of this. Do you?
Not really.
If you were
not really, and are you talking? You know, specifically, should I be bullish or bearish based on the two presidents sitting down together?
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
Oh,
with Putin hanging around there too.
Watch and see. I don't know what else. You know, what else can you do?
And you know what? I really haven't. You know, I shouldn't. Well, we'll put it this way. Everybody knows that I manage money for people, and I've gotten a lot of new clients lately, which is thank you very much. But I'm one of the few people, I think, Kevin, in my industry that will say, "Hey, look, I've been doing this for 35 years. I was on a trading floor all day long. If I knew what direction everything was going." But you know what? The biggest trouble I've ever had of any stock, you know, two times. I'll take that back. Two times. One is when I was younger in the business.
You like Jimmy Two Times now?
Yeah, well, I'm saying I could never really figure out.
Is that Jimmy Two Times, Two Times?
Well, it could be Two Times, Two Times, Two Times. I could never figure out exactly where I should be vis-a-vis the tobacco stocks when they were in every court in the land. They're always a good, quote, buy money-wise. They always paid a good dividend. I just had this feeling all the time up the back of my neck that the second I would put my client into one or I'd buy some myself, the next day there'd be some massive court settlement where these idiots would pay like $40 bazillion or something. And I just could never bring myself to opine on them because I never really knew where all these cases were. How could I? And I'm having the same trouble with this China-U.S. thing regarding Apple. You know, one day you hear, "Oh, okay, we'll bring all their assembly to Vietnam." Well, Kevin, that can't happen in a week or a month. I mean, I don't think. You know more about that than me, supply chain. If you got that kind of supply chain pointing towards four or five plants in China, you don't just turn that around and send it to Vietnam by the end of this year.
If you have that kind of flexibility, then that's going to be an amazing case study for decades to come.
Yeah, I do have some of my new clients have a lot of Apple. And of course, first thing on the subject is, what about Apple? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. They're in the middle. They're like the people firing the guns over the cathedral, and you hope one of the guys doesn't fire short. I mean, if it really explodes with China, I still don't believe those guys come out unscathed. But I don't know enough to say that to anybody. How would you know where they are with this mess?
Well, you wouldn't.
No.
I mean, that's ultimately the point, is that, this is always this. Until something is signed on the dotted line, this is going to be a touch-and-go situation.
So what would you tell somebody, and I'm not saying I have anybody like this because I don't think I do, but you say to somebody who for some reason has wealth, has like 20,000 shares of Apple, and that's it, and refuses to diversify? What do you tell them?
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, basically. I hope it comes out okay. I mean, what do you mean? You're supposed to know this stuff. No. No. I don't think the people on Trump's team know how this thing's going to turn out. Well, I'll say tomorrow or I'll say this afternoon, depending on what time you're looking at. And it's a, I don't really like it when the politics gets involved with the market to this extent. There's always been, I mean, clearly before the first Gulf War, I mean, every uptick in oil, people thought the oil market was probably the most interesting trading In the pit I ever had. I mean, before the first Gulf War, where the every time the oil ticked up, like I think it topped out at like $140 a barrel. I'm going to say before Gulf War One, when Bush One was in office, and every time oil ran up a half a buck, the market got spanked. So you'd watch on the one screen where the oil prices were, and if they went up, you turn around and the S&Ps were going down, and you didn't. And the night they were supposed to invade, when you heard about it, well, first of all, these are the types of things that get me to my amazingly grumpino personality. Hopefully it doesn't come through, and hopefully isn't really true, to be honest with you. You know me longer than most, and that's not really me. But this is the kind of stuff that makes you, I will say, is the word jaundiced? Is that what our parents used to say when somebody had a different point of the day that Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, I believe it happened on a late afternoon, our time. And all of a sudden, I saw Morgan Stanley and a couple of other big sleazy firms come in buying every put to beat the band. I'm like, what are these guys doing? And I sold some to them, but then there were some in the book, and I was able to get some out of the book, so I didn't get hurt very bad. Matter of fact, I might have been able to buy a few more than I sold. Lucky. It's total lucky. And it's just, yeah, it was unscathed. I don't think I made any dough, but I don't think I didn't lose anything to remember either. I go upstairs, turn on the TV. Hour later, you know, there's this surprise. George One comes out talking about this surprise invasion of Iran or Iraq into Kuwait. And I'm thinking, well, George, it might have been a surprise to you or what you're telling us, you bleep, even though I like Bush One. But the other guys, they got the word from your satellite before you did. So those are the kinds
of... the satellite and, you know, a company that size, too, they have people on the ground everywhere who are reporting stuff in.
Well, let's put it this way. If it's a U.S. military employee letting Goldman Sachs know before they let the president know, I guess I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that. I don't doubt that they have their boots on the ground.
Well, I'm saying is that obviously people knew, and it wasn't a surprise to everybody. And here the president says it was a surprise to him. So those kinds of things, I just remember, Kevin. Like I said, if I would have had a chance, I would have gone to Bush One's funeral. I thought he was a good guy. War hero. I mean, he was a part of the greatest generation. You know, I mean, I have no, you know, stayed with the same wife his whole life. I mean, raised a bunch of pretty good kids. I mean, I got nothing bad to say about George One, honestly, except for this. And in his mind, it might have been, he probably used the term surprise differently, like, you know, a week ago they didn't know.
He might have known the same time the Morgan Stanley people did, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a surprise to him.
But I'm saying people that have this information, that's why when I say, you know, if Trump's people come out or the Fed come out with some change in policy and you see the market move beforehand, the reason why I say that is not because I'm some grumpy old dude from the South Side. It's because I've seen it. I was right there. Were guys trying to buy puts from me? They were trying to put me out of business because they had information on a world scale that wasn't out there yet. Now, I don't think it's illegal that if they happen to have somebody over there who picked up the sat phone at the time and said, "Holy bleep, Batman! These Iraq guys are pouring over the border in tanks." I'm just saying, people use the information, Kevin, and they're not shy about it. I mean, there were a lot of people in 9/11 that the last thing they did before they left the building, worrying if the building's going to fall on them, was sell spoos. Right? I mean, it's just the way that... By the way, you know what today is the 100th anniversary of?
What's that?
One of the most screwed-up things, and probably caused more people to get killed later than any other document in the world, ever filed in the world. You'll know.
Oh, I probably will, but go.
Treaty of Versailles.
Okay.
90 or 95% of all oil reserves in the world were on one side of the table when they were done. Huge reparations to a country that couldn't pay. And they were still blockading Germany economically, even though their armistice said more, what's today, June? So the armistice was what, November 11th? So let's say 8 months later, they were still blockading the company and people were starving in Germany. What the hell? And you wonder why there was a World War II? So I'm totally in the camp now that there was not a World War One and World War Two. It was just a 30 years war with a 20 year break.
Yeah, with a 20 year ceasefire.
Yeah. Well, if you count the Spanish American War,
interesting perspective on that. Yeah, I think that's worthy.
Okay, so the debate last night, I don't know if you saw much of it, but I liked your buddy from South Bend. He's a little young, but he's very cerebral.
He is that, and you know, I've said this before, when you break it down, he's really talking in a lot of generalities. He doesn't get all that specific. And a lot of, you know, not that other candidates do, but you know, you sort of there is a tendency to say, you know, man, that was deep. And then when you start to think about it a little bit more, then there really wasn't that much there. But yeah, he's good. And, you know, he's good in that forum, and he's, you know, he's good in front of a microphone. So, you know, I'm sure he got a little traction last night.
The biggest thing you'll read about today probably is the Harris assault on Joe Biden. I don't know if you've already read about that, but
I know what that's about, and she she's not the only one that went after him. A lot of people went after Biden, and I don't think Biden fared well at all last night.
Well, she didn't. She refused to shut up, though. I mean, she just kept at it, and I just this whole thing, Kevin. I just maybe because I'm the old white guy, I don't know. This idea that everybody can be rude and everything to you and you can't fight back is really getting old to me. It's really getting old. I don't know. I do recall, because I'm not as old as Biden, thank God, but I do recall when busing became an issue. Okay? And I'm not defending Joe Biden at all here. I'm just saying when busing became an issue, there were some busing plans that if you were the most, you know, biggest proponent of that sort of thing, there were busing plans that Martin Luther King would have voted no to. And if you've been in politics long enough, with all the games being played about people, will you vote no for this one, or you vote yes because you bring it to the floor and then you vote no, there's all kinds of these procedural games that people play. I don't know if I won't even call them games, but procedural things that happen in like Congresses and state legislators, that for somebody to zero in on one or two no votes or yes votes from 40 years ago and say that's how a person totally believes is so screwed up. It is so screwed up. I mean, there were busing plans that I thought were, and I was only in high school, I thought were ignorant, and other ones I thought were pretty darn smart. I mean, they weren't all created equal.
Regardless, Biden's got to be, you know, he had to know that some of that was coming. If he didn't, you know, then it's political malpractice, both by the former vice president and by his advisors. So he had to know that some of this would be coming because it's all been teased a little bit along the way, especially with over the last couple of weeks with some other remarks that, you know, again, may be unfairly mischaracterized. And he has to be able to respond to this, and he seems to be incapable of it.
I don't disagree.
Let me say, respond effectively.
I don't disagree. Our buddy Dr. J, a lot of people don't know, but John has quite a history, and I'm not going to tell anything out of school, but this I'm sure he wouldn't mind. They had a busing program in Minnesota where they bus some kids from the inner city out to, and John's parents, his dad was chief of surgery in Minnesota, for God's sake, live in this real nice area, and the flip side of it was some of the kids from that school got bused in the inner city. John actually went to high school in an inner city, 90% African American school. Now, John was a big guy, immediately got on a football team. He ended up fine. I'm not so sure that everybody would love that, their freshman daughter being bused to you know, wherever you want to bus them now. I mean, I could see somebody voting against that. I mean, I'm just saying, it's not like, I mean, I said it worked out fine for John. He has a terrific attitude about things. His parents said all the same thing. But I'm not so sure 90% of people would vote for that. And if they didn't, it doesn't make him a racist. SP Futures up 575. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Blowing up by Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's Jay-Z on the board. Bright-eyed, as she is every morning when she's in here. S&P futures up 550. And if he's only one, so NASDAQ is skunked down here a little bit. Dow futures up 67 as we get a little bit of a, well, talk about a dead cat bounce. We got Boeing up 53 cents. So not much going on there. We got JP Morgan up $2. And we have Procter & Gamble up 140 in the early market, so not much. But to whatever is there is to the upside, at least so far. Over in Europe, we have the DAX up 63.5%, FTSE up 15.2%, CAC around up 17.3%. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei. These guys were all up yesterday, and they're all down a little bit. Nikkei, they're not down as much as they were up yesterday. Nikkei down 62.3%, Shanghai down 17.6%, Hang Seng down 78.3%. We got oil up 5 cents, 59.48. Still can't quite make it to 60. Maybe it will today. Brent up a penny, 66.57. We got gold up 470 up to 14.16 an ounce. Silver, 15.27. Jay-Z, what do you ask for traffic, weather, sports? And don't tell me it's not going to rain tonight. I'm going to go out and play a game and get rained on my head. Two athletic events this week rained out. Neither one of them predicted by you weather people.
Well, I sure hope it doesn't rain tonight because for the first time since, summer started, series finally put me outside, which I'm super excited about because it's so much more fun to work outside.
Now the question is, if we won a table, could you get us one?
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm very well connected.
Yes, you are.
Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:35. Chicago weather today is partly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain after 1 o'clock. Today's high is 90 with a high of with a low of 67. Phoenix is clear with a high of 110 and a low of 79. In baseball, the Cubs beat the Braves 9-7. Sox were off, and the Diamondbacks beat the Giants 5-1. Nothing to report in traffic. Back to you.
Kevin, if you don't mind, I'm going to complete my rant here. I don't speak, maybe because I got drowned last night like a drowned rat, but I'm ranting grumpy this morning. And when I, as you know, I'm no
surprised with that.
Yeah, I know. As you know, I'm no fan of the president's and the part about he lies all the time, but I really understand the conservative person who turns to me and says, what's the difference? They all lie. Because that person is not wrong. And you know what what bothers me the most is that people don't believe these people. Let's take the global warming part. You and I know, because we have a friend who actually did this stuff. I'm trying to get on the air someday when you're on. I don't know if I can talk him into it, Mr. Conway, but I'm going to try. Knows more about this than all those idiots on, idiots, wrong one. All those people on the stage combined. Okay? Hopefully we can get him on the show. Now, what they have not convinced me, Kevin, just like Bernie Sanders' get rid of the student loans. I mean, you know that I have been vocally against the growth in the student loans, and all it's done is cause the tuition to go up, and it's become a circle that just is heading its way down a toilet. I mean, it's a bad situation. So I would love to have student loans able to be discharged for people who are disabled, able to be discharged in maybe a normal bankruptcy, and maybe we lower the rate 2%. And I don't think anybody thinks that would be that bad of an idea. I honestly don't think so. There might be a few people that give you the moral hazard crap that their dads paid for them. But by and large, I think you and I could constitute something that makes sense and gets those people back on the track of maybe owning their own business someday and maybe actually getting out of debt. I mean, I think you and I could pull that off, to be honest with you. Now, if we do that, I think we should just have our normal taxation, which should be fair, as fair as taxes ever can be, should be fair, and we should just pay for it. The idea that you identify somebody you don't like, be it cigarette smokers or drinkers or Wall Street, and say somehow they should be singled out, I can't go down that road. I don't care who it is, even if it's hoodlums. Same thing with this environmental stuff. You can talk all you want about this stuff, but the average American, which I think you and I are, when one of these bleeps starts talking to me environmental stuff, they're saying, fact is, Kevin, you and I, we might, drive a car or whatever, and you know what, maybe it should be electric, maybe you should have 20 years from now it should be a windmill on the roof, and I should take the short trips in my little electric golf cart or whatever. I get all that, But all I'm saying is, the sacrifice is always going to be on somebody else. Obama was big on it. He drove around, and does anything have a bigger carbon footprint than Air Force One? I never once saw a guy say, hey, we're only going to New York. Why don't we get in this little Piper Cub and shoot up there and nobody will know it's me? Same thing with Nancy. Nancy Pelosi is never going to get her fanny out of the 757 and into a prop jet that has to stop in Chicago on the way to San Francisco and has half the carbon footprint and doesn't go as high up, doesn't screw up the ozone layer. We're never going to see any of these people make any sacrifice whatsoever. It's going to be, oh, Kevin, you have a coal-fired furnace. Actually, somebody left in Chicago, we'll go name it. You have a coal-fired bread baker that people love, and you sell bread out of there because it tastes like bread did 100 years ago. You need to shut that down for global warming. Why? Kevin, that thing for you is like you and I peeing in Lake Michigan and saying we somehow polluted the thing. I mean, what are we talking about? We'll shut down your bread maker, which is doing nothing to anybody. Meanwhile, Nancy's up in her 757. I don't think people believe these people. They believe the problem. They don't believe any of the solutions these people come up with. And you know what?
No,
I can't either.
They won't live it. They won't live it. There are a few noteworthy, like the actor Begley Jr. He lives the total green life. Of course, he is a person of means who can afford to do it. And that's another part of the equation is, we hear about income inequality all the time, and that the lower end of the economic spectrum is not benefiting, and then we're going to go pass all kinds of things that who's going to pay the biggest price? people on the lower end of the economic spectrum, because it's, you know, there is going to be job impact, there is going to be wage impact, and so on that comes into play there. So, you know, you don't get out of many politicians a good holistic point of view of what it's all supposed to be, you know, look like, and how the various parts fit together. And I realize that that's difficult, and it doesn't fit into sound bites very well. And, you know, so all of that is true, that's the kind of leadership we need. And we also, you know, the thing that I don't get out of the little bits of the debates that I've watched, and, you know, I just keep toggling over there, and then after a couple of minutes I say I can't take this any longer, and I go back to a ball game, or, you know, shoot, a Hogan's Heroes rerun was more entertaining. So, you know, the one thing I never get out of this is any optimism. Out of any of the Democratic debates, I have yet to see somebody where I said, there's a person who's optimistic. And one of the things that really great leaders are is optimistic.
Yep.
That, you know, no matter what's in front of us, we can do this. You know, we can, and it's just not there, and that's, you know, that's why I don't think they're going to win.
Well, Kevin, just on this particular thing, now, and this is not me, because I actually have talked to our man in Colorado, and I would say that you and I, we probably have to have him with us, although he probably won't leave the state where he can go skiing in the wintertime. His solution right now, this is what we could do. Now, the reason why they did this is when people, I'm not going to go too detailed here, but they, our friend Tom and a lot of the guys from NOAA, for the first 10 years he was in there, or how many years, they were flying and looking at the ozone holes. Now, we don't hear about those anymore. I don't know if they've closed up or we just forgot about them. I don't know. But anyway, they did that. They had the DC-8s going over to poles and so forth. And then the last few years, they were worried about carbon and carbon dioxide. So they basically charted most of the world on oxygen blooms and where oxygen was being produced versus, and most people, if you ax them, they would say, well, man, look at the amount of, you know, oxygen that must come out of, like, the Amazon or someplace. And the fact is, none comes out of the Amazon, which was kind of a shock. Because areas end up getting into equilibrium. What I mean by that is, if a tree goes down, a bazillion termites and other bugs and stuff set foot on the tree, and they essentially, they create the same thing you do. I mean, you know, you breathe in oxygen and you breathe out, you know, basically carbon dioxide. And, so if you fly over a jungle, for every plant that's taking stuff from the sun, using carbon dioxide, if you remember your biology on plants, and then plants essentially produce the gas that comes out, for lack of a better term, is oxygen, right? Well, just as if for every tree that there's producing oxygen, there's one on the ground, the termites are eating, producing CO2. So the biggest oxygen bloom they ever found, ever, was about 2 years after the huge fires in Yellowstone, when it was all new growth. He said they flew over in the plane and the oxygen meter damn near hit the other thing and almost broke. He said they couldn't believe it. They flew over again. So his the thing he could do right now, he said, is to plant a couple million trees a year. Get more new growth. Now, in the Chicago area, Kevin, this leads me to think, we got all these kids in some of these areas, or in regular areas, A, don't really have much of a job, or not much of, and want to learn something. And you could maybe get some kids out of areas that, you know, at least there's no bullets flying. Why not have, you know, 30 gangs, I'm not talking about a million people, try it for a year, 30 gangs of 15, 20 kids, go out there, clean some of the crap out of the forest preserves and parks and stuff that is decaying, so you don't just sit there as a, you know, and have the thing be a termite mess. Clean that out as best you can, plus it'll help for fires, and plant a bunch of new trees. I think that is... why don't we combine a bunch of things together and do some stuff positive? And I know that's not gonna stop China from 90 million factories putting stuff up in here. But, you know, as they say, Kevin, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, right? I mean, we could yoke together a lot. You know what? It's not that much money. I bet we could pay 10, 12 bucks an hour. You know,
Well, and we're already polluting year over year less, but yeah, I'm all for that kind of stuff. And you know, that would be kind of the holistic look at things, where you're saying, you know, we can there's a lot of moving parts here and we can make them move together. And you know, we just don't seem capable out of the political system of doing that. But you know, perhaps there's a way that that corporations would find that to be valuable, especially, you know, what if you were in that business? What if you were in lumber, forestry, you know, any of those? Would there be any value to you to sponsor a program like that, knowing that you may spur an interest in some people who will be your employees of the future?
Well, I think you would. And I'll bet if you, even in the city of Chicago, if you had 500,000 trees in the parkways here, you got some of the dead ones out of there, I'll bet that if you flew over Chicago on a plane 2 years from now, you would notice the difference. Chicago could be a carbon dioxide neutral place, maybe, instead of, oh God, it's got to be negative now. You know, with the expressways, I don't know if you'd ever get neutral, but you might make a stab at it. Just saying. I mean, Kevin, we got to go break here real quick. We'll be right back. SP Future's still up 5. We're going to be probably locked here for a while because the meetings are going on. I guess there was a meeting with Trump and Putin already. It didn't seem to, well, nothing horrible or good came out of that, so they just had a meeting. Dow Futures up 62. NASDAQ unchanged. Be right back.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Jay-Z on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. SP Futures up 5.25 and NASDAQ Futures up 2. So we've been slightly positive most of the morning with, we have the big meeting is planned for today. Tomorrow over there, but today, I guess after the close today, if anything happens, that's when any kind of an announcement will come out. Kevin, I haven't heard much about the Iran thing in a while. I mean, it's hard to keep pace. Well, if you want to go after the other things, stuff in the world like Ukraine and these other places, I mean, you really got to dig. The news media is not actually put in front of your face at all, but I'm sure there's news at those places.
Yeah, not much attention span for this stuff.
No. Well, there's only so much you can dig your nose into stuff you can't do anything about. I mean, it's right. I mean,
well, yeah, unless you want to get rid of some of the stupid stuff.
Why do you do that?
You report the serious stuff.
Well,
I know, it's crazy talk, but...
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to... it is really a tremendous spread between... I'll say an awful lot of... We've blinded... How do I say this? We've the line between news and whatever these other stations are doing, whatever stations are doing, news and entertainment, I don't think has ever been so mishmashed. How's that? Is that a term? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that there's news and then there's... I didn't even know that during the debate last night, who was the lady moderator?
Savannah Guthrie again?
I don't know. She was on. She's like the best on MSNBC. Oh, man, I don't know. It's the first time I ever saw her. Like, oops. I don't know. For my clients, I keep my eyeballs on three business channels during the day and the tape and everything else. All these other things. I don't know what's going on in the background. Who's yelling at who, Kevin? I mean, I suppose I'm better off for it.
Yeah, I've just learned to not bother for the most part. I try to find some decent news sources of my own that that report more or less dispassionately. I will look in on biased things, but I won't take anything seriously unless I can confirm it elsewhere.
Kathy used to use the London Times a lot as one of her bellwethers. And I probably should subscribe to those guys, but I don't. I mean, I used to use Al Jazeera America a lot, and then they folded. So I don't know. I thought they were a different point of view, shall we say? But they were.
It was a different point of view, but a very biased point of view.
I didn't find the one in,
which is
fine.
I
didn't
find
the American.
I don't mind. Bias, as long as it's not dressed up as unbiased. I don't mind. I don't mind. A Rachel Maddow or a Sean Hannity or any of those. I don't watch them, but I'm not interested. But I don't mind what they do because what they do is not considered to be news reporting.
What does Rachel Maddow look like?
Opinion. It's a point of view that they're presenting.
What does Rachel Maddow look like?
When you do the nightly news, and the nightly news has a slant to it that is, is very intentional. And then you deal with what gets edited out and what gets included. What the slant that they put on things. That's what bugs me is that when that's not done straight down the middle. And, there are some reporters out there that do a really nice job with it.
Well, I don't disagree. I was, where was I the other night? And I said something about, I think this is Rachel Maddow I'm talking about. She was a lady. What you just mentioned. As I was mentioning to somebody, but you can bury these facts. One of the listeners or somebody wrote in and said, well, obviously the market has done, I don't know about a lot, but if you go back through history, the market has done better when Democrats are in office or in presidency than the Republicans. And I said, be careful with that one. He goes, why? I said, because you're the only person, because of the way things are being spun, nobody knows that. But even CNBC, who I think is not necessarily a politically... dominated one way or the other station. They've bought into this that our businesses, our clients, the chairman of the companies that we have on as guests all the time, businesses do way better under Republicans. Therefore, we should. But the fact is, it's all BS, Kevin. I mean, if you're going to make it an equation between,
you know what it is, Tom. It's that businesses with their nose up the butts of government do better under Democratic administration.
I would agree.
Therefore,
and
therefore the market does better.
Well, no, but if you look at the history, it doesn't really. I mean, I can see where for a while. I'm going to say if you did this test 20 years ago, you would find they were damn near dead neutral, going back to like 1925 or whatever the hell you want to go back to. Obviously, where you go back to is a big difference in how you deal with this. But they were damn near even. And now, because of Bush 2 having essentially the big sell-off and then the rally coming back under Obama, Democrats have gone... But if that election would have been 6 months before, 6 months after, those numbers, they don't tell you anything, really. I mean, so I'm saying that the numbers themselves don't mean all that much. I mean,
yeah, the other thing I'd say about the numbers in this case is if you took out the anomalies like the 2008, 2009, which was definitely not normal times.
Well, take out 1929. Take out 1929, same thing. I mean, right?
Yeah, agreed.
But then again,
you need to deal with those, you need to explain those, and you need to, whatever goes on, but to treat them as, to mix them in with what we would consider, normal times, and I put that in air quotes, that to treat them the same is just, it's not smart it's not smart from a policy standpoint.
Well, plus, who cares at this point what happened, how the markets performed in the 20s, 30s, 40s, other than somebody pontificating about there are people will say if you care about your money, you and I have friends that will say that, if you care about your money, you have to vote Republican. Well, you know what? It just isn't true over a long period of time. But I guess what you just said, though, Kevin, is that I'm going to say there's a 29 crash. Was it an anomaly? If you read Freedom from Fear, it was a culmination of 10 years of an agricultural recession/depression, ignoring parts of the economy as some areas boomed, other areas didn't, maybe sort of like now, not to the same extent. And it was a culmination of finally the bad side crept over the good side a little bit. I'm going to say, was 2008 an anomaly, or was it the Fed/Treasury Department/presidency inability to see what was going on in the financial markets and a disparity in interest rates between Japan and here and how people were piling onto all this crap and causing a massive credit bulge. I mean,
Whatever else it was or wasn't, is it was a result.
Yes.
Of activities. And in that case, yes, a result, but maybe should have been a predictable result. But not really the point that I'm making. The point I'm making is that, okay, you have to, and so you might have to take the run-up out of the equation. And so now I want to know what normal times is and what it means and what it looks like.
If you can define
and
that, Kevin.
How we deal with all of this other stuff, it should be lessons learned. It's not, by the way, but it should be. And that's, that's how you start to use data in a historical context.
Well, I mean, I honestly think, and you know this, I mean, I've been never going to be proven right or wrong, I think that coming out of 2007-2008, 30-50% of the population never really left the recession. And if we keep pouring more expenses on them, we might actually push them into either a very serious recession or maybe even a slight depression, or such thing as a slight depression. And they may overwhelm the rest of the economy. And it's been my fear for 10 years. And I still feel that way, Kevin. I would like to see that it's not going to happen. It goes back the other way. But I'm not sure about that. And I'm really not. Anyway, thank you very much, buddy. Have a nice weekend. SP Futures up 5. By the way, I'd sure like the Cubs to get all three of those pitchers from Vanderbilt. My God, where'd they get those guys?
SP Futures would be up. Sweet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would. SP Futures up, like I said, 6. I said 5. I meant 6. NASDAQ Futures up 6. Be right back, Mr. Wayne Manson.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zalewski on the board. Bright-eyed on a Friday. All psyched up to work the outdoor patio this afternoon and make huge money and buy me a present or something.
Money dollars.
Money dollars. Yeah, real ones. And so who did you kick off the corporate ladder to get that spot?
No one. They finally just opened up the patio. But the funny thing is, I asked that same question yesterday. I was like, who's not working? Why are you putting me outside?
No. When something good happens to you, don't question them. You know, just say, why'd you pick me? You know, and when some guy, now, when you were younger and somebody asked you to dance, did you say, what'd you pick me for? You're not supposed to ask that.
I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me to dance.
Oh, God. Wayne, how are you, buddy? Good to have you back.
Very good. I'm suffering from post-debate. I don't know. Post-debate syndrome, I guess.
Oh, God. This is the most bizarre thing. Talk about... I won't say anything about females taking over the world, but when they take over your neighborhood bar and had like three tables of people listening to debate with it on virtually all screens, and if you wanted to watch a ball game, you couldn't even watch it. What the hell kind of deal is that in a bar that normally has five games on?
That sounds like what you would deal with in D.C., in Chicago, where the lifeblood in D.C. is politics and... except in certain locations, sports takes the back seat, especially if you're around where the Washington Wizards and the Caps play.
What's the name of the bar in the basement of the hotel out of the back side of the White House, not Pennsylvania Avenue? Is that the Hayes Healy or something?
Oh, like the Hayes Adams. I've been in that bar. It's actually pretty expensive. It used to be a hangout for a lot of White House staff and the press corps back when they used to actually get along.
Well,
those days are gone. probably forever.
I was probably there 6 years ago, maybe longer than that, maybe 10. And I went down there, and that's exactly what it was. It was all guys that. I was out there to see the Cubs play the Cubs were playing in Washington. And they got like three TVs on it, or it's all the news. And all the guys, you could tell were... They had all those kind of little private rooms where if a senator wanted to have 10 people there, you couldn't hear what was going on type of thing. And they had all these people sitting at the bar, and it was on MSNBC and Fox News. And I said to the guy, by the way, do you ever have like the baseball game on here? Oh, no. These guys, if something happens, everybody's got to run across the street, go back to the White House.
Yeah, if you're ever there, the place to go is the old Hotel Harrington. It's actually the name. It's an old hotel. It's got a bar that's just basically where the white collar and blue collar meet. And if there's a major sporting event on television, it's on there. It's a place where you can get a bowl of popcorn and drink beer and, not worry about how you're dressed.
Well, I would say that if I came out there... I don't know, I'd probably have to put a sport coat on. I don't know, maybe I wouldn't. By the way, I loved the Asian guy last night because he wasn't wearing a tie.
Yeah, that must be a new fashion statement.
I'm all for it. Anyway, if I came out, I would grab you and we would have to go to the crow's nest.
Right, okay.
For people who don't know, there's the Willard Hotel, which evidently is every single president since Lincoln or somebody has stayed there at one point or another. And they have a little bar like halfway up the steps.
You're talking about the Robin's Nest.
Robin's Nest. I knew it was some kind of bird.
And it's the same dimensions as the Oval Office. It's actually the same layout
as far as the
room is concerned. Same size as the Oval Office.
Well, I know that, but you can look out the front window, like from a little bit of a perch, for lack of a better term. And anybody who came up in those days in a horse-drawn carriage or piles out of a limousine, if you see him, you have a chance to escape, essentially.
Now, yeah, and there's it may be somewhat of an urban legend that the term lobbyist was actually invented because when Abe Lincoln was elected, of course, he had to wait all the way till March to be inaugurated in 1861. So he was staying at the Willard, and of course... all these people looking for favors from the incoming president were camped out in the lobby of the Willard Hotel waiting for Lincoln to catch him on his way to his room, hence the term lobbyist. That story may have been altered over many years, but
wouldn't surprise me.
Obviously, the term lobbyist did come from some lobby somewhere, and if I had to guess, the lobby at the Willard would have been in the scene of the crime.
Didn't somebody stay there for a long time when, was it the War of 1812? They burned the White House or something? Didn't somebody stay there for like the whole time? Was reconstructed or or somewhere.
Well, I mean the British did a number, of course, on DC. I don't think the Willard was actually there then. It's an old hotel, but it, there were other hotels. I don't know how well they fared. There used to be the National Hotel, and a few others. The name escapes me, but it was where the election of 1876 was settled, because that was one of those where Tilden got more, the Democrat Sam Tilden got more popular vote, and Rutherford Hayes from Ohio got the electoral vote, and they hammered out a deal. But the operation was at this hotel right near the White House, and it was the first use of the telephone in basically finagling an electoral win for somebody who didn't win the popular vote.
How long did it take for the popular vote to be counted in those days?
Well, you had telegraph, and that's how the returns were coming in to Washington. So, yeah, it took, of course, they didn't have the exit polls of the instant winner we see today, but. They would basically have a pretty good idea of who won the election in time for the morning newspapers.
What is the current state? I mean, I could ask you this question, or who else I could ask. What is the current state of government / Washington in the summer vis-a-vis what it used to be? When you read about the New Deal, was it virtually everything that was substantive that was passed in the New Deal? Was passed. Didn't Roosevelt demand in the summer, for those that have never been to Washington, unless you've been to like St. Louis or someplace like that along a river where you're way low down, and Washington is brutal in the summertime. It was built on a swamp. It still feels like a swamp. It is so humid. It's so humid. It's all god awful. But didn't, Roosevelt demand and the congressman say, okay, didn't they bring people back for a special session in the summer without air conditioning? And isn't that one like, all the stuff about.
I wouldn't put it past Roosevelt to do that. Of course, Washington back in that time period was absolutely awful. And add on to it the fact that there were open sewers still in Washington, and you add the humidity, the heat, and the stench. And this is why Eleanor Roosevelt, First Lady, she could not stand living in D.C. And every chance she had, she would. Get on the train and head up to Hyde Park just to be away from Washington, which she said it was a sleepy southern town. And, of course, in some respects, it still is. It's not Manhattan. There's not much of a nightlife in Washington, D.C. As I used to joke about Philadelphia, which they said they roll up the sidewalks at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Washington, D.C. is not much better. It still has that sort of old southern town mentality in some respects.
Well, didn't there was like four bills that got passed that summer that were really the things that have lasted in the New Deal, wasn't it? The Securities Act, the Social Security Act. I mean, the guy just said, listen, let me go home, I'll sign anything.
Well, Roosevelt, like LBJ, knew how to play the Congress. He knew what their likes and dislikes were, and we still see that today. On Thursday afternoon at National Airport, I still call it National, I refuse to call it Reagan, at National Airport on a Thursday afternoon, you're probably going to see a dozen or so members of Congress all waiting for their airplanes to go back to their districts. I mean, Friday, it's shut down usually, unless there's something major going on, and they go back to do fundraising.
Is it
really not to go back and see their families if their families aren't already living with them in the D.C. area?
Well, is it still July and August? They're out of session, or is that over? Is that the thing of the past?
Yeah, they're pretty much gone, and they got the summer break. August is you can basically hear a pin drop in the halls of Congress, and then they come back after Labor Day. They get a lot of time off, which is a big criticism, especially when you got this situation with these children who, you know, need some basic supplies like bedding and toothpaste and soap. And, you know, these people are, you know, all looking at the calendar and saying, gee, well, you know, why do we have to stick around? We want to go back to our district so we can do some fundraising. So
Wayne, I wanted to ask you, I was surprised, well, I don't know what I was surprised, but I saw, what's her name, jumping all over Biden last night, and I'm not defending Biden, but I listened to three people on, I think it was Face the Nation, the CBS one, and they had a Democratic guy on there, and he was, you know, he's pretty good. Then they had a Republican guy on there, and he was pretty good. And the Democratic guy, she kept, this is, what's her name, the lady who does Face the Nation, she used to be on CNBC.
Oh, Margaret Brennan, I think.
Yeah, she's grilling the guy about, well, if they bring you a bill about the border, you know, that takes care of some of these problems with these people, will you sign it? And he kept saying, I'm not signing it if I don't know what it is, if I don't get a chance to read it. And she kept on him, but he wouldn't break. And He said, he goes, if you're going to put a bill in front of me tomorrow to provide blankets, housing, toothpaste, and the things that these people need that they don't have, I'm signing it. He says, if you got a bunch of other crap in there about walls and everything else, I'm not signing, you know, basically. So then she gets the Republican guy on there, and she says, why don't you guys just come up with a bill for what both sides think you need? And he goes, well, that doesn't happen anymore, basically.
No, by the way, he's right. That really has probably never happened. You always have these riders attached, earmarked goodies for certain members' districts and certain senators' states. I always said, you know, watching, and I've seen a fair share of bills go through Congress and reported on them, but it's almost like, you know, making salami. You know, you may like the end result, but you really don't want to see how this stuff is made, because it's actually, some of it's pretty boring, especially when you're attending what's called a markup hearing, where they're just basically making sure all the little goodies are in the bill before it goes to the full House for vote.
What I want to get to, and I'd love you to opine on, let's say somebody is our age or older and wants to run for office and has had a long career in Congress. Okay, how can you possibly escape one of these bills somewhere along our legislative lifeline? Again, this is no defense of Joe Biden. Somewhere along our legislative lifeline, there's going to have to be 1, 2, 3, 10 bills that you and I went to the bar, ordered a stiff drink, put our finger over our nose, and signed the damn thing. And because there's 5 things in there that are appalling,
yeah,
but 8 things that we think we need. Now, how do we ever withstand the abuse? To me, last night was sort of abusive on her part, to be honest with you. How do we stand the abuse 20 years later? Chief Wayne, you two bleeps, look at this bill you signed where it gave special property to, you know, Jay-Z's uncle. And and the uncle ended up polluting the whole place and screwing up a whole river. And
yeah, you know, and for a guy who's been around as long as Biden, it's kind of a low blow to, you know, go after stuff like that. And you know, as anyone who may have read the Chicago Trib a few months ago, I had an op-ed in there where I basically endorsed Biden over the rest. Yeah, he's not the perfect guy, but I'm looking at the end result. Who is the best guy to take on Trump? And, you know, these others, you know, I think they're novelty candidates. For example, how did this woman, Marianne Williamson, get on the stage? She's a self-help guru. So I joke with some people. I said, if it's Marianne Williamson against Donald Trump, we'll have a self-help guru running against a help-yourself grifter.
Yeah. Well, how is it, Wayne, and I'd love your opinion, I don't know, you can't answer it, even the state of Illinois, we used to have Matt Murphy on before he resigned, fairly regularly, state of Illinois, even though, you know, on paper, of course, as Matt Murphy said, he was probably the second most powerful Republican. And he said, boy, I go out drinking with the Democrats. They're way more fun. I don't know if he was supposed to say that out here. But he goes, He says, in Illinois, he goes, we don't do that. He says, somewhere along the line, and I didn't pin him down. I should have, and I probably should have researched it. I bet the guy who lives in my building knows, because he's a big chef from one of the Republican senators down there. He says, even when everybody's fighting each other, we're constantly passing bills, because the bills are,
yeah.
He didn't say they were like five pages. He goes, but we pass a bill, it's for a specific thing. We somewhere along the line, yeah, we've all agreed we're not going to have these 1,000-page bills with a million things in there nobody even read. So how does a place as screwed up as Illinois come to that conclusion, and Washington not?
You know, the closer the members, the politicians are to the people, and obviously at a state capital, they're closer to the electorate than they are in D.C. And then you get down to the municipal level, and I've sat down and spoken on occasion with Chicago aldermen, and you know, it's the same thing apparently. Of course, you get some issues of bribery, things like that involved, but they do get the legislation passed, and it's usually you ever hear them in Congress say we want a clean bill. That means we want a bill without all of the attachments and riders and favors and things like that. And I think that your chances of seeing clean bills, as you say, are better in, you know, wherever it is, Springfield or Jefferson City or Des Moines than in Washington, D.C.
Well, does anything ever come out, if you and I are senators, even if it's our bill, you know, that we sponsored, does it even, when they're done with it, do we want to vote on our own bill?
Yeah, well, they always do, and then sometimes you get into the horse trading, like you support my legislation and I'll support yours, and, you know, LBJ was famous for that kind of thing. You know, he had an uncanny ability to know a lot of details about these various members' districts. It didn't matter whether they were Democrats or Republicans, and when it came time for his legislation, he'd say, now I know you want that post office down there in Foggy Creek, and you know, we ain't going to get it unless you vote for my legislation. You know, and you know, it turns out, you know, and they, you know, they would vote for it because they wanted that post office.
Well, what I when people, and obviously if you listen to the show a lot, and the fact that I have somebody like you on and people like you, I mean, I love to, you know, basically rag at politicians, because I think at the end, they don't do anywhere near as good a job as they should. And what is bothering me most, as I've, you know, matured, shall we say, is the skill set between getting elected in these big jobs. Maybe not so much, I don't think, I mean, how can I say this politically correctly, Wayne, but I know the lady who's the state senator from Portage or whatever that area is. I've talked to her on many occasions. I'm very impressed. She's, you know, 5 foot on a good day. She doesn't look like the lady from New York on a stage. But you know what? She does one hell of a nice job, and she's a terrific lady, and boy, you'd love to have her in your family. And, you know, and you can get away with that at that level. But it seems like on a national level, I use the skill set, the body type, the looks, and I'm not saying, you know, Trump is handsome or anything like that, but the skill set to get the job is a lot different than maybe you want the skill set in the job.
True. And, you know, I've seen with covering politicians for many years, you're covering people who have tremendous egos. That's something people, they might think, oh, Mayor Pete's a great guy, but Mayor Pete wouldn't be running for president unless he had a hugely inflated ego of him, you know, himself. And that goes for all the candidates, whether it's this guy Yang or the self-help guru or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. And that's what's really kind of, you know, when I, for example, I was the first to break the story on Dennis Hastert's problems that started at Yorkville High here in Illinois. And, you know, I realized I was dealing with a guy, again, he might have been fairly quiet, but all these guys got huge egos. So when I, you know, broke that story in 2006, you know, dealing with people who were close to him, how could you say that about him? He's such a nice guy. I said, he might be a nice guy, but, you know, he liked to, you know, fondle members of his high school wrestling team when he was a coach. So But that kind of, you know, that's what I guess the job of a journalist is, to basically bust some of these guys' egos, just like this former congressman, Aaron Schock, who resigned amid a scandal, who had a very anti-gay voting record, was just caught on video in a Mexico City gay club putting money in some male dancer's, G-string, I guess you'd call it.
I wouldn't know, but... Well, but
I wouldn't either. I did see the video, and it is Aaron Schock. No shock there, and no pun intended.
How could you? I mean, ego is a interesting word, because for somebody who has been on a trading floor for 19 years, I guess to think you can go down there and compete with other people, you're competitive. I guess you have somewhat of an ego to think that I can actually get in the same room as Goldman Sachs and once in a while come out a winner. But I would say that for the people I know, and I'm going to say pretty much you usually attract people kind of like yourself. I think the people I have on this show are talented, are willing to work, are willing to help other people out. If you give them a job like that, I guess I would never consider myself to have an ego like I look in the mirror like Trump and see like a Greek god or something. I know I played softball, and guess what? I was a pretty good hitter, pretty smart hitter, but I knew guys that could hit the ball a hell of a lot further than me. I mean, if you actually do stuff and compete, you realize that you have ego enough that if I work hard, I can get on the field and I can compete, and once in a while I can win, and if I use what I do get, my wits about me, which is always my advantage, I can maybe even, my team might even be able to win or do okay. That to me is not this look in the mirror and I got, you know, four mustard stains on my shirt and think somehow I don't, you know. I mean, somehow my shirt's clean.
I don't call you there, because one thing I think is a delicacy when I come to Chicago are the Chicago hot dogs. I've had more than one mustard stain on my tie.
I got a great story about the all the committees I was on at the SIBO. The one that was the probably the most raucous was the floor officials one. You'd show up and basically didn't talk about hardly anything, you know. So the guys were there, were a lot of the brokers and ladies. So it was bizarre. So one night, the guy who was the chairman, this guy Brophy, and he was an absolute riot. Audrey loved him because he had the really gray hair, total gray hair, and she thought that he had his voice. But anyway, everybody loved Broph. So he comes in and he goes, you know, we got to start worrying about the decorum on this floor. People are starting to look a little shabby. Well, at lunch, he had a hot dog, and there's a big thing of mustard on his shirt. So one of the guys goes, as John O'Connor says to him, hey, Broph, what about your friggin' shirt? So then the lawyer next to him bursts out laughing, knocks over his Coke over all Broph's notes for the meeting. So then the guy
there's some sort of karma there.
Yeah. So then the guy who was told about his shirt stands up, raises his hand, and goes, I move to adjourn. Probably, sit back down, you idiot. Anyway, it was funny. But yeah, there's a big mustard stain on his shirt. He's going, you know, the decorum on this floor, people are looking a little shabby.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I mean, in terms of ego, I don't know that if five of the people from the show here decided to form a think tank and help, I don't know that it's ego. Do you have to be that egotistical to think you might be able to do a little better job than they're doing?
Well, I mean, it's, having toyed with the idea of running for Congress myself once in 2004, it's not easy. And the money-raising aspect is tough, and one of the reasons I didn't want to get involved with it was just that I'd have to compromise too many principles.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I think a journalist's job is not to become the person that you're reporting on. It's just keep reporting on these people and not become one of them. Obviously, we've had a few cases where journalists have gone into politics. Harry Truman comes to mind, and, of course, he compromised an awful lot if he had any principles, which is doubtful coming from Kansas City politics.
You can't become. I got to believe if it was you and me, especially me, there'd be some Southside politics in my blood someplace. I mean, I know I'd cut a deal somewhere. I don't lose all that just because I move.
Well, certainly. I mean, and you know, I covered the Blagojevich problems, and you know, I looked at that. I said, you know, it's like the federal prosecutor that went after him, Fitzgerald. It was like, I'm shocked to find gambling.
Hey, Wayne, could you hold that thought? Could you hang on a little bit? Because we have Mr. John Neal on as well, but I want to ask you a little bit about positioning your finances before this China thing, because we've talked about some general stuff, but I want to zero in on you, if I can, a little bit. S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up 7.25. We're leaking up here a little bit. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomas, you're JZ on the board, and Mr. Wayne Manson with us. We have Mr. John Neal a little bit, probably. S&P futures up 7. S&P futures up 7. We just had the consumer spending up 0.5% in May versus a 0.3% prediction. And we also have the PCE only up 0.2%, meaning there is no inflation. Not so sure I believe that one. Anyway, we also have the Dow's up 85. Over in Europe, we've got slight rallies here as well. Not slight, medium-sized. DAX up 64.5%. FTSE up 19.3%. CAC around up 21.4%. They've come up as well in the last, since we did an hour ago. Nikkei down 62. That's 0.3%. Shanghai down 17.6. Hang Seng down 78.3. So Asia shares down, but somewhat muted. Oil up 10 cents, 59.53. Brent up 14 cents, 66.69. So that spread is now $7.16 on the low end. Gold up $3.50, $14.15. Silver up a penny to $15.30. Individual stocks, we've got Boeing bouncing back a little bit from yesterday, up $1.48. We got Goldman Sachs up $4.93. Bank stocks are pretty strong this morning. And we've got Procter & Gamble, which was upgraded, up $1.51 to $111.29. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. No more rain on my sporting events, for God's sake.
Good morning, everyone. It is 7:35. Chicago weather today is partly cloudy with potential rain this evening. Today's high is 90 with a low of 67. Phoenix is clear with a high of 110, low of 79. In baseball, the Cubs beat the Braves 9-7. Sox are off, and the Diamondbacks beat the Giants 5-1. No accidents report. Back to you.
Wayne, let's put your investment hat on. I'm not going to ask you to pick stocks or anything for me, but put yourself in my shoes for a few minutes here. You've got people that have that you manage money for. You've got people that do a lot of their own stuff. You got some people that are combined. You got all kinds of basically stuff, formulas on individual people. Some people you might have wrapped up pretty tight where they're protected and you're not worrying too much about this weekend. Other people you're going to get the phone call and say, well, gee, I got X amount of Apple, or I got X amount of Goldman Sachs, or I got X amount of, you know, one guy we've got with a whole bunch of Alibaba, you know, people with Baidu, and they, well, what do you think of Alibaba? You know what, Wayne? I have no way. I mean, what is the news telling you as to how to handicap this stuff? I mean, what are the chances of this thing going on another 3 years with tariffs going up? What are the chances of it being, quote, settled in the next week? I mean, would you be, if you had 15,000 shares of Apple and 15,000 shares of Alibaba in your portfolio and nothing else, what are you doing today? Are you lighting it up? Are you buying more? I mean, I have no way to handicap this. I've never felt, you know.
I can see your point, because with Trump, we have somebody who's very erratic. And he started bad-mouthing not only China before he landed in Osaka for the G20, but he was bad-mouthing Japan, which recently hosted him on a state visit, and here he's being hosted again, and he's bad-mouthing the host country. Of course, he also went after the Germans. It's hard to say with this guy. Now, obviously, in his meeting with President Xi of China, it'll all be like, oh, well, my good friend Xi, and that's today, and that's in the moment of the news, you know, conference after the meeting, but what's it going to be when he gets back to Washington? I think when I look at Trump, and he was going after Japan, he was going after China, we know what he thinks about African countries, and there'll be, at least South Africa will be represented at the G20. I think the guy, being a racist, you don't know what he's going to say with, leaders of countries that are just not, he's always citing Norway as like the perfect country. It's too bad we don't get more Norwegian immigrants over here. I think that pretty much sums him up, but he's erratic. And I had to laugh when I saw that the president of Brazil, who's pretty much like Trump himself, one of his members of his military team on the way to Japan was arrested with 86 pounds of cocaine in Seville, Spain. And I'm thinking, 86 pounds, even the Brazilian vice president said, look, that's not for personal use. This guy's a drug mule. He's taking it somewhere. So I'm wondering now, what kind of parties do they have at this G20?
Good question. How do you get? if I was going from Brazil to Japan, not so sure geography is my strong suit. But how the hell would I be going by way of Seville?
Yeah, that seems like it may be the long way around. But, now there's two aircraft involved. This guy was on the Advance plane, a sergeant, and they tried to say he was a pilot. Now, look, you know, when you get to, you know, piloting heads of state, you know, you're talking, usually the pilot for Air Force One is a full bird colonel in the Air Force. You know, and then, of course, the Advance plane lands in Seville, and the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, he's following 3 hours behind, and they don't want to land in Seville. They divert to Lisbon. Obviously, a refueling stop, but I guess when they heard that, you know, one of his planes, the guy was arrested for cocaine, they didn't want, you know, he said, well, maybe we better avoid that airport, you know, because, you know, you look at these situations, and I think it's the first time anyone's been busted going to either a G7, G8, G20 meeting, you know, hauling that much cocaine.
What's when our guys go to even a place like Japan, which maybe used to be an ally, I guess they still are, other than Air Force One, what's the entourage like? Are we bringing limousines? Are we bringing other people? I mean, how many cars do we bring? What does this whole thing look like?
The presidential limousine called the Beast has actually flown over there ahead of time, and it's armor plated. It's a heavy vehicle, and then all the SUVs and everything else that are used to, you know, take the secrets, they're all transported as well. So they usually arrive a day or so before the presidential
delegation. When they make three stops in a day or something in the country here, how the hell do they do that? I mean, what are the logistics of that?
Yeah, they do the same thing. The limousine, and there's obviously more than one, the limousine goes ahead of the president. And you got the Secret Service usually present at least a week before the president arrives. And they start doing their normal security checks, liaise with the local police, and check up on people that have sent nasty, you know, letters and or emails to the president, whoever.
Well, if he's coming to Chicago and Minneapolis essentially on the same day, are there two sets of all this other crap? One goes to Chicago, one goes to Minneapolis, or do the guys in the limousines and the SUVs, minute he's on the plane, run their other ones into the whatever the thing is, a C-5A or whatever.
Yeah,
chain them down. And
there's different vehicles that they use for that type of thing.
So there might be two advance guards or three.
Exactly. Yeah.
So out of all the other people in the world, how many of the other G20s show up like that, or do most people just show up?
Well, I don't think any. Certainly Putin doesn't. I mean, they may have their own vehicles, but sometimes they just use the host countries, and they're nice vehicles, obviously. They're luxury vehicles, whether they're Mercedes or Lincolns or whatever. That's what they travel in. Yeah. They use the host countries. As a matter of fact, I think it was a G20 summit in Hamburg where it was noted that all the other leaders were using German-supplied vehicles, and only Trump, well, any president for that matter, was using, you know, brought over his own, you know, limousine.
Well, is the president of France, does he have an Air Force One, or is he flying commercial?
Yes, the president of France has his own, a jet. As does the president of Brazil. The British Prime Minister, I think, flies on a special British Airways plane, and the president of China does the same thing on a special Air China aircraft for executive travel.
But it's not the biggest specially built 747 ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, these are specialized aircraft. Okay. And I've seen, and you know, this Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is in the stock of the same thing. You know, they fly on a special plane. I've seen these planes sometimes parked on aprons, you know, where it'll just say along the side of it, you know, United Arab Emirates or Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. These are these are huge aircraft and very luxurious, of course, inside. But yeah, they all base. The only guy that doesn't have his own plane is the Pope. He flies on an Alitalia charter flight.
Okay, what did you ever in your days when before everybody didn't like you? did you ever ride on Air Force One as part of your?
No, I never had the opportunity, but I did know one of the pilots for Reagan. We used to hang out at the same bar near Andrews Air Force Base, and he once invited me to a Super Bowl party because the Redskins happened to have been in it that year in the early 80s, I forget what year. And but he loaded me down with Air Force One matches, matchbooks, napkins, and other Air Force One paraphernalia. So that's as close as I ever got. But of course, I'd have this stuff laying around my house. People walk in and say, "Oh man, you've been on Air Force One." And I'd, "Oh sure, I fly it all the time." And then, of course, I'd say, "No."
All right, one more economic question.
I know one of the pilots.
I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not an unfan. I'm not a big zero hedge sort of dude. But I did get an article yesterday, Wayne, and I love you because I could go back and forth from the politics to the economy. We seem to have. Other than this personal spending number today, a personal income number, which is pretty darn good, we seem to have had a pretty dramatic. Hey, Jan, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Jim?
Doing good. We still have Wayne. We're talking about. We've already covered the political base. We're hoping you'd come in, and then we would talk about how the politics is affecting our market. I don't know who sent me this thing. It was one of these zero hedge deals, and. We're talking about how the numbers are deteriorating. Some of the numbers are deteriorating very rapidly. Now, John, I noticed the income number was up pretty good last month. So that part, at least last month, was a good number. But these guys I'll read just a little bit of it. The Fed's Empire State Manufacturing Index suffered the worst one-month decline in U.S. history. Morgan Stanley's Business Conditions Index, and I'll be perfectly blunt, I didn't know what the hell that thing was until last month, just suffered the largest one-month decline they've ever seen. Global trade numbers are the worst events in the last recession, blah, 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 and how there's, 30 companies allegedly have sent pleading letters to the White House saying, hey, we're going downhill fast with this tariff crap, you guys better fix something. Wayne, is that true that those people are sending letters or they're calling or something?
I think this tariff situation, because it's not well thought out, it seems like if Trump has a temper tantrum, he's threatening tariffs. It's just like he's threatening the Federal Reserve. We've never had a president threaten, the chairman, who was his guy. He appointed him. I don't know if I were a major investor and having that kind of instability because of some guy that's so erratic from day to day, hour to hour, tweet to tweet, I guess I would be very reluctant and, prefer to maybe keep my assets in my mattress. I think with the way the world economy is these days, this cannot be a good thing for the president to be doing this type of or showing this sort of erratic behavior and making these threats. No matter what his ultimate intentions are, if he's looking, we had this issue come up in the debates too. You got Tim Ryan from Ohio, represents Youngstown. Of course, he's in favor of tariffs too. But it seems like his policies and Trump's are on different planets as far as how to enact these things.
Well, I'm going to ask both you gentlemen. Maybe I'll get Jan's opinion first. I'm starting to see. I can't even explain it. Maybe one of you guys can help me. I'm starting to see this. I don't know if it's a historical, if it's a time going by. There's a spread going on here. Like I talked earlier with Kevin regarding people who are they think the economy does better under the stock market does better. You've been led to believe it does better under Republicans, but in fact, the truth is, if you went back and did the ridiculous search, what it means to anybody. The fact is the market's done slightly better under Democrats for the last 100 and God knows how many years, okay, since the Dow came out. But now, what that means in the next election or your next day, I have no idea. But I said to this guy, because he was telling me, yeah, the Democrats, they do a lot, economy does a lot better. I said, don't go anywhere with that one, because nobody's going to believe you. Because the whole world thinks that the Republicans are so much better for business, so you might as well not even have the conversation. But now, you're talking about, I mean, and you're not 25, and neither are John and I. I'm going to say right now, if you went around, and people don't know the history of the Federal Reserve and why there is a central bank, and the whole idea of we had agrarian timing and buying and selling or borrowing and having being flush was different than the cities, and you needed to have somebody in the middle to kind of match all this money up. And by and large, if there wasn't a Federal Reserve, your check wouldn't cash. I mean, all this stuff that the three of us know, I think if you walked into a, you know, I'm going to say library, coffee shop, bar, wherever it happens to be in your neighborhood, I'm going to say a lot of the people under 35 are like, well, he hired the guy. Why shouldn't he do what he tells him to do? I think the whole concept of independent of different groups and the idea of somebody who, man, your buddy, your New York policeman, even though he's on TV, Tom Selleck told the mayor, he was a police chief in New York in Blue Bloods, and he says, "Mayor, you can fire me. I work at your pleasure, but I don't work for you." I'm going to say if you walked around, I don't know if it's a lack of civics or it's a lack of teaching in high school or grammar school, I'm going to say all these concepts that the three of us sit here like a bunch of three smug guys that we think everybody knows, they don't know. They have no idea why the guy who's running the Fed would basically flip his nose off at the president. I mean, John, you go first. Am I right? Am I onto something here or not?
No, I think you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, I think even a lot of basic civics that a lot of people wouldn't know, let alone that one, you know, that we talk about here. So, no, I think you're absolutely correct on that, though.
But Wayne, what do you, I mean, is this?
You're right. There is we all took social studies, so whatever you want to call it. And same thing with the attorney general. The attorney general, yes, he's appointed by the president, but he's the chief law enforcement officer of the country. Yet people think, well, he's like Trump's lawyer, isn't he? No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's supposed to be independent.
You know that he's not, but I'm going to say that don't assume that other people think he isn't, right? I mean, at least at some level.
Yeah.
And I
hear that all the time from people.
They're like, they watch these, you know, the undercover boss and the, you know, you're fired or whatever the hell the name of that show was. I mean, they think that the president really is a dictator, and or should be, or why can't he fire everybody? Well, you know, why do people think that? Don't they understand what an amazing thing? Now, obviously not perfect. This governmental system is that people, you know, good friend of mine, Mark Duffy, was on the board with me at the CBOE, and a real bright guy, lawyer from went to Michigan, played for Bosha, Schembechler, of all people, and somebody was, we were somewhere, and somebody's talking about we have to have elections in, you know, Libya or some damn place, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, okay? Duffy leads over, he says to me, "What are they doing? What are they talking about?" He goes, "There's zero concept of the British tradition." You know, it goes all the way back to the Magna Carta, that if you lose an election, you dry your tears and you get up and you leave and you put your party back together and you're the loyal opposition and you try harder to find out how you screwed up and lost last time so you can win next time. Because there's no tradition of leaving office when you lose, and there's no loyal opposition where two people, even if they're fighting two or three different parties, manage to govern. So if you don't have any of that, what's the point of having an election? And I'm wondering if we're losing the base about why we are the way we are. And it's sort of bothering me some, and I don't know what I can do about it. Anybody?
I don't know what you could do about it, right?
I'm
afraid that what we're seeing is, you know, the framers of the Constitution, they created three equal branches of government. But the first one that's mentioned, they give them a little bit more power, and that's the Congress. And what we're seeing now is the executive, this unitary executive notion,
which Cheney actually tried to do,
right,
and was somewhat successful. You know, there's this unitary executive basically looks at Congress and the judiciary as subsidiaries of the executive branch, which is, you know, why even have them if all they're supposed to be are rubber stamps?
Well, Wayne, let's try and connect, if we ever do on this show, let's try and connect. We were talking about earlier, Jan, we were saying earlier in the Washington situation, and Wayne, rightly or wrongly, makes some sense. I mean, I don't know how things are in Arizona, but in Illinois, as bad as the state legislature can be in a lot of things, when they pass bills, the bills are short enough where they address pretty much one thing or two things, and that's a conscious decision that the legislature in Illinois did, where they actually pass stuff, you know, if there's a funding issue, if it's something for this dam or whatever it is, they'll pass it. And they try not to have these 1,000-page, matter of fact, I don't think they have any of the 1,000-page bills, which appears to still be happening in Washington. What if right. you have a Congress that is so flayed, shall we say, where the Democrats hold one, Republicans hold the other, and we're in this, you know, gotcha kind of world? What do you do if you get in office and they don't pass anything? I mean, you're right. They have a serious job to do, but what if they don't? I mean, Cheney tried to take over just because he wanted the war power. He wanted to be a dictator. In my opinion, it's maybe not everybody's opinion, but I mean, he didn't even like it when Bush won, went to the Congress for the first Iraq war. He thought that Bush had the power to do it, and by the way, he should prove it and just go ahead and do it. Am I right, Wayne, on that? But that's different than what if we all get there? What if we, the three of us, bust our tail and we get to become the three-headed monster, and the three of us are sitting in the Oval Office, they move two more desks in there. Well, we need to get this bill passed. All of a sudden it's three years and 11 months and going, hey, we're still sitting here, we haven't got a bill passed. At some point, you're gonna say, well, I need to do something. Plus, the population, I believe, rightly or wrongly, just like I was just saying, thinks that the president can do all this stuff, even though they shouldn't be able to and probably can't.
Well, yeah, and then you've got the, you talk about market stability, then you got this looming potential for war with Iran, which will not be confined to the Persian Gulf. I've talked to people in Lebanon, I've talked to people all over the Middle East, and they're telling me, look, that's going to spread, you know, to Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Israel, Palestinian territory. It's not going to be confined. And then we got not only a bunch of trade wars, we got a real war. Katie, bar the door.
Well, our buddy Fari, I don't know if you listened yesterday. Well, he wasn't on yesterday, but last week. He says that Iran has not invaded anybody in 400 years. No.
That's true.
Now they've got, you know, I mean, a proxy war going on in Yemen. I don't know who the hell started that, but is that like the Spanish-American War, guys? I mean, the little one where everybody gets to play before the big one? Is that what we're doing over there?
Well, Iran has been invaded, though, several times, most recently by Iraq. Saddam Hussein launched an invasion of Iran back in the 80s, and with some encouragement from us, by the way. They're a very defensive nation for that reason. For that matter, China. You look at China, and they really haven't. Be technical. They didn't invade anyone. They said, of course, that Chinese troops supported North Korea when we were, you know, heading towards the Yalu River. Were volunteers, but
right, yeah.
But as far as a state-sponsored invasion, we haven't seen really China engage in. There was a border war with Vietnam, but there was probably blame on both sides in that case.
John, I have to ask you, what are you? We only have 30 seconds. Are you setting your people up for this weekend? Just normal protection, or are you trying to do something different?
Not something different, but you know, I've been doing more as things have progressed this year. Anyhow, to be honest with you, Tom,
just got to be more buttoned up.
Nothing different for this particular weekend, though.
All right, John. Well, have a nice this particular weekend. You too, Wayne. I guess we hang around after the close today and find out what the meeting comes out after the close. That should be interesting. Anyway, guys, thank you very much. S&P futures up 775. NASDAQ futures up 11, so we're still creeping up. Thank you, Jay-Z. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.